Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
You're very welcome along to the Friday Football Betting Show, streamed each week across YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. Today, I'm joined in studio by Off the Ball Stephen Doyle and Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. Very good afternoon. The last one of the season.
Last one of the season, yeah. I'm emotional.
Well, probably a bit tired as well, Leon, I'd say, after the week you've had.
It's amazing that we're here, because it's been the most crazy week of football.
Yeah, it's why I think it's the most watched, the most loved game in the world. I don't really see any other sport having that effect on people. And in terms of the comebacks, I mean, I thought the Liverpool game was just ridiculous. But I actually think Spurs, in terms of what they did in 45 minutes, was even a greater achievement. And it's just, look, it's fantastic for the Premier League that we all love and watch every week, that we've now got four teams in the two European finals. It's a fantastic achievement.
Yeah. You were there.
I was there.
Tell me now, honestly, going into Anfield on Tuesday night, what was the feeling? Did you think, because I kind of thought, if Liverpool get an early goal, and I mean early, and obviously they got it within 7 minutes, not like 25 minutes in the first 10 minutes, they'll have a chance.
Yeah, I suppose, Phil, everyone was thinking, get an early goal like yourself. I felt inside the first 20 minutes, but when I saw Salah out, Firmino out, then you're thinking, oh, have we got the firepower to actually trouble even a weak Barcelona back four? And I think the key moment was the Alisson double save in the first half. I think going in halftime 1-0 and shooting into the cop second half, I think that was crucial. And then we were all saying at halftime, score inside 15 or 20 again. But when the second goal went in, Ike was kind of sitting in the main stand, and we were close to the cop. You could see the Barcelona players turn to each other as if to say, oh no, this is happening. And this is going to happen. And they had no response. Obviously, I didn't expect us to score within 2.5 minutes. And then a bit of genius from the ball boy,
yeah,
to give it to Trent. And then for a young kid of Trent Alexander's age, to have that nous and that know-how to hit that ball so fast into Origi, he made up Origi's mind that, you know, you couldn't control it, you just had to hit it. It was just, look, it was stuff of dreams. And I'm a little bit worried, however, because I think Tottenham are also the stuff of dreams. You must remember, they had 1 point from 9 in their group, and they needed 3 late goals in the remaining 3 games to get through. So you've got to take your hats off to Spurs as well. That was a phenomenal performance.
Yeah, Steve, Ajax was looking, you know, 2-0 up at halftime, you're thinking it's done here, Liverpool, Ajax, and brings on Llorente, and just shows for all the beautiful football we saw, sometimes just a punt up at, with a bit of control, it's not just a long ball, like they know what they're doing. But Llorente, you know, he's been on the bench for most of his Tottenham career, comes off the bench, but he was a handful, wasn't he?
Yeah, like I have to admit, I watched the first half of Tottenham Ajax, then I had to go off and go to a gig, I had tickets for the Fat Boy family during the week, so I had to go see that and kind of keep an eye on the phone then while I was in at the gig. So I watched the second half then anyway when I got home, and it was just, they went direct, didn't they? It was the old-fashioned way. It was proper old-school English-style football. You know, while it might not be easy on the eye, you do what you have to win, don't you, in the semi-finals. It's just about winning semi-finals in any sport. It doesn't matter how you do it. You just win, get to that final, and then who knows what's going to happen. I would say a bit of punter's advice in these kind of games. I actually backed corners in both those matches, because you've got two teams going hammer and tongs, and there's a guy actually won on both games. You've got two teams going hammer and tongs. There's going to be a lot of corners in games like these, unlike the first match where the teams are maybe a little bit more cagey in the first leg. But I have to say, as a neutral, I'd be fancying Liverpool to win this. I just can't see, with the experience that they've had from last year, being there against Real Madrid, a lot of these Tottenham players haven't been in this position before, going into a Champions League final, all the pressure on them, you know,
Harry Kane's going to be fit. What do you do with him? Do you play him?
Well, is he going to be fit? This is the thing. He's had so many injuries and knocks.
But he comes back very quickly.
Yeah, maybe too quickly.
Adrenaline gets him through
I've seen it with Leinster players. You know, Leinster players over the last few years who, you know, they've come back too quickly from injuries. And in the long run, it doesn't really help them.
Yeah, but it's one game, though.
It is one game. And look, I know they'll do whatever they can to get him on that pitch. But I just think if you can spring someone like Harry Kane from the bench...
Yeah,
that puts a serious fear of God into the opposition team, into Liverpool.
Instead of bringing on Llorente, you can bring on Kane.
Exactly. Yeah. Moura has earned his place in that team.
He's earned his place, but I have a feeling with Pochettino,
he probably will go with Kane.
I think Kane will start because there'll be such a you know, the English media. Harry's nearly back. You know, Harry Kane's fit for Spurs, and it just look at the end of the day, if Harry Kane's fit, he'd probably get into most teams because he is a natural-born goal scorer. But if you look at how Spurs play without him, sometimes they can be more effective.
A bit more dynamic. Looking,
a bit more dynamic and a bit more, you know, like Lucas and Son and Eriksen. I, as a Liverpool fan, I wanted Ajax to hang on because I really felt the nerves. You could see these young kids in the second half. It definitely got to them.
Yeah.
The occasion got to them. They knew how close they were to going to a Champions League final. And they just looked all over the place in the second half.
The other thing as well that really, and I know it's only, this might seem like a small thing to people, the one thing that really knocked me back was the pre-match ceremony at the Amsterdam Arena. And they unveiled all of these banners slowly around the stadium. They just unfurled all these banners of all the trophies that they've won over the last few decades. I'm kind of going,
no pressure.
That's ridiculous. What are you doing? Like, who came up with this idea? You're all of a sudden, you're putting all this pressure on these young players. You would not see Jurgen Klopp doing something. Like, Jurgen Klopp has done absolutely the opposite. Yeah. He's told the Liverpool players, forget about the past. That's all, but we're going to create our own history here. And that's, I couldn't believe Ajax did that. It was a ridiculous.
Even half time.
Half time, I think.
Everything's going to be all right. Well, like, it wasn't.
Just insane. Absolutely insane. And I just think it put, way, as you said, the young players, that the pressure on them.
Pressure on
them. It really got to them, I think, in the end. And look, Spurs just, whatever it was, and I could imagine that Pochettino probably gave some sort of an inspirational halftime talk. I really think...
They say Harry Kane did it.
Harry Kane, fair enough, yeah.
Well, I think you would
I can't imagine Harry Kane giving an inspirational speech.
Well, I think all you would have to do, Steve, was probably look at the night before. You know what, all you've got to do is look at the night before and say, listen, Liverpool scored 3 in the second half against Barcelona. We can score 3 in the second half against Ajax. You know, and
maybe they talk about Leinster winning that Highland Cup final against Northampton.
Harry Kane was in the Johnny Sexton role. I would imagine the bookies are tipping Liverpool to win the final.
Yeah, they're favourites. Liverpool to win in 90 minutes are even money. I saw Spurs were 11-4, and I think the draw is around about a 9-4 chance, 13-5 chance. So, look, I mean...
It was funny, actually. Sorry, Liam. I was with two mates of mine at the gig who are Liverpool fans.
Okay.
And I turned around to them and said, Spurs are out there, they're true. And they just went, oh, no. It was like all the Liverpool fans wanted Ajax.
Absolutely.
They did not want Spurs.
I think it would have been a game of football.
Yeah.
Whereas Liverpool, as you said, have the experience. They can go toe-to-toe with any team in the world. I'm worried about Spurs for two reasons. Spurs have only won one of the last 14 meetings. Liverpool have beaten them twice this year in the league. Third time lucky for Spurs. Spurs should have beaten us at Anfield. To lift the trophy, Liverpool are 1-2 and Tottenham are 6-4. Look, I don't know.
It probably won't be a great final. It'll be cagey.
Yeah.
One thing Pochettino has showed, especially at Anfield, and he showed it the other night, that if things aren't going well, he can adapt and he can tweak things. And in the first half at Anfield in the league game a couple of months ago, it was quite notable. Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson were having the freedom of the pitch down because they were playing against wing-backs. And he changed it, and Tottenham had the beating of Liverpool in the second half. Like, they should have put them away. Like, Sissoko missed the chance. Dele Alli had a good chance. It turned out to be a big, big result for Liverpool because they've kicked on since then. But you can see why Liverpool fans would be anxious that it's one game. VAR is there now. So, you know, sending off in a big game can often sway things. I just wouldn't be surprised if this one goes to extra time.
The other thing as well, I'd say, and I've criticised him a lot this season, Dele Alli, I think he's disappeared in a lot of matches this season. I think he's been really poor by his own high standards. But he was a major catalyst in the changing of that game. I thought he was excellent. His passing was brilliant. He unlocked that Ajax defence with some of his passing. On the other hand, you've got Kieran Trippier, who I don't think should be anywhere near that team in the final because he is awful.
He had a shocking first half, but in fairness to him, he wasn't bad in the second half.
Yeah, I just think defensively he can be got at.
Yeah, he can.
Mane is going to be going up against.
Yeah, and I think that's bad news for Spurs.
I think the middle of the park will be where this final is almost won and lost. Mm. And Liverpool fans will be praying that nothing happens to Fabinho. Mm. He was absolutely... Yeah. You know when you go to a game and you just watch a particular player to see how he reads a game and to see where he goes? Everywhere he went and everything he did was exceptional.
And he did it on a yellow card.
He did on a yellow card. Yeah. But you know what? He didn't even let that bother him. He just played his normal game. And it was almost like, I want to get us through. If I sacrifice myself... It reminded me of Roy Keane in Turin. When he knew he was missing the final, but he dragged Man United, obviously, to the new camp, as it turns out, to beat Bayern Munich. But Fabinho, he's just...
Well, that was the key to Liverpool's win, was the midfield battle. Yeah. Barcelona have been good defensively, and I know I said it here, I really thought that was going to get them through, but Rakitic and Busquets were outplayed by the Liverpool midfield, and that was the key to the win.
Hassled.
You know, you can talk about Origi and you can talk about Alexander-Arnold, they did great things, definitely, but the main driving force in that win was Liverpool's midfield dominating Barcelona.
And Jordan Henderson.
Barcelona's midfield.
I must give him a shout-out because... He gets a lot of stick and he gets, he's average, he played the ball sideways or backways. But since he's been pushed more advanced because of Fabinho, he actually looks a much better player. And I was looking back to the 2014 league campaign and I looked at some of his stats when he was in a more advanced role because Gerrard used to be that holding midfielder.
Yeah.
He came up with an awful lot of assists. He's,
absolutely.
I mean, people forget that he didn't play in the Chelsea game.
Yes.
Because he got sent off against City. Right at the end as well. There was no need for it. In fairness, we'll give Steve-O the credit there. He's always been banging the Jordan Henderson drum.
I always loved him. And I just think, whatever about, you know, he's had some rough patches maybe from a playing perspective, but one thing you'll get with Jordan Henderson is 100% effort every time he goes out there. He never, ever gives up. He's just, and I like players like that just are tenacious and just put in every single bit of effort. He leaves everything on the pitch.
Yeah. Right, so that's the Champions League final. Then you've the Europa League final now, Chelsea and Arsenal. Chelsea needed penalties against Eintracht Frankfurt. Who would have thought at the start of the week Arsenal would have the easiest night?
It's incredible, isn't it? Yeah,
Gamero scored, I thought this is going to get a bit scary here. But Aubameyang, unbelievable.
I was at the Ireland under-17s game last night, so I didn't get to see both matches. I watched the end of the Chelsea game on the way home on the phone, but I backed Valencia to qualify. I felt they might have too much in the attack. Coquelin was back for them last night as well. He's a really good defensive midfielder for Valencia, obviously a former gunner as well, and Gabriel. But fair dues to Arsenal. One thing I will say, and we'll talk about it later on, I think the games during the week are going to have a big impact on what happens this weekend. And I think there's money to be made this weekend as well on the back of those games.
I think Arsenal are a big price to win the Europa League.
Yeah, I was going to get onto that. They don't fear playing Chelsea.
No.
They certainly don't.
And I just think, you look at Unai Emery's record in this competition.
Yeah, 3 wins, yeah.
Sarri yet to win a trophy. Mm. And I think at 21-10, Chelsea are 13-10, and the draw is 9-4. Arsenal, to me, are a massive price. And I just like the way they've been setting up lately with the two wing backs, the three in the middle, and the two lads when they play as a partnership, they've got pace. So even if you're under pressure and you hit a ball into the channels, it just turns the opposition back four. And as we know, Chelsea do not like to be turned because they don't have a lot of pace across their back line. I really fancy Arsenal. I think Arsenal are going to win the
Europa League. Could be like that opening game of the season, couldn't it, at Stamford Bridge? It's finished
3-2 to Chelsea.
3-2 to Chelsea.
But it was one of those where Arsenal should have actually won.
Yeah.
They got the revenge.
It could be a mad game like that, I think. Yeah. It really could. Baku, wouldn't fancy travelling there now if I was a
6,000 tickets each, that's all they're getting.
Pretty disgraceful, isn't it?
Mkhitaryan didn't make the trip when they played Karabag earlier in the season.
Indeed.
You know, there's not great relations between Armenia.
6,000 each, so what's the capacity
there? 68,700.
Yeah.
Oh, it's disgraceful, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's again, just
at 11 o'clock in the evening in Baku, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's just, fair play to Arsenal or Chelsea fans that go over to it, but... Let's look at this week's offers, right? We're going to get into the Premier League title race. It's all down to the final day. And we can go and have a look at Boyle Sports offers, get them up on screen here. Manchester City and Liverpool to both score in the first half was 5-6, now 6-5. And you just feel, Leon, whoever gets the first goal, because if you're at the Amex and you're a Manchester City player, a Manchester City fan, a Liverpool score, that will ripple through the crowd. There'll be roars. Even the Brighton fans will probably think it's quite humorous that they're playing Man City, who are all of a sudden now not going to win the league.
Yeah, and I think Liverpool...
And it works both ways.
It does work both ways, but I feel Anfield will be absolutely rocking on Sunday because they now know that they've got another game, they've got a Champions League final, and I think the way Wolves play, Phil, it'll be an open game of football, and I think that'll suit Liverpool. Whereas Brighton defended for their lives against Arsenal, and they had nothing on the line. But some of that defending from Duffy and from Dunk, and their goalkeeper was exceptional as well. So I think Liverpool will score first out of the two games. Yes. So 5-6 and 6-5. Man City, they haven't been scoring an awful lot, but they're just getting the job done. And I think even with City, Phil, if they go 1-0 up, they'll keep that ball for the remainder of the game.
They will, but if they're only 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go...
Oh, well, then they're going to start getting nervous. Big Shane Duffy.
Yeah, I have actually found, I don't know what you lads think, in the last few weeks, it's more looking at Guardiola. He seems to almost cause a bit of panic where the players know what their roles are, but he looks like he's just going mental on the sideline, and it seems to be affecting some of the players.
They seem to have one problem at the minute. Guardiola, I think, has fallen out of love with Sané. He's absolutely it's almost like he had to put him on the other night because Foden, to be fair, was very ineffective.
Yeah.
Now, you're going down to Brighton, and we know Brighton are physical. Now, okay, so Aguero plays. I wonder, does he play Jesus? Because Jesus is a worker, and he's not afraid to put his leg in. But do you play Foden or do you play Sané?
Sané was dreadful against Leicester. He was so bad, I actually thought. And I know.
I thought he was going to get taken off.
Gary Neville referenced it in the Sky commentary that he could take him off. And, you know, he had a big effect when he came on at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
He's just had a strange season because it's coming off the back of being left out of the World Cup, Germany's World Cup squad. And you wouldn't be surprised, Steve-O, if Sané is gone in the summer, which we already associate City with losing talented players.
But don't think he fits into Guardiola's ethos of work. Like when he came off, he was just kind of, or when he came on, he was trotting. And you could see Guardiola, and at one point during the game, he was like, sprint, run out to the wing if you're on the wing. But I don't know.
Okay, Bruno Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon. There's talk of him coming in as well. Look, on paper, you look at the two games, Liverpool Wolves, Brighton Man City. I'm going to be down at the Amex myself for Off the Ball. On paper, it should be two wins for the team challenging for the title, and then it's game over really for Liverpool, isn't it? But after what's happened this week, I wouldn't be even touching these games from a backing perspective. Like I wouldn't personally go near them. I keep thinking back to 95 when Blackburn and Manchester United were going for the title.
Yeah.
And Man U went down to Upton Park.
Liverpool were going to let Blackburn win at Anfield.
West Ham finished 14th that season. They were mid-table. They had nothing to play for. They drew 1-1 with United. And even though Blackburn, they could have done with the win, but they lost eventually at Anfield against Liverpool. But they still won the title because United couldn't get it over the line at Upton Park. So... like, who's to say something crazy like that won't happen? Another good home for Liverpool fans, made of mine, reminded me during the week. 1968, Manchester City won the title over United by 2 points. But then United went on to win the European Cup. So
here's another one for you as well. Liverpool fans can take that one. I was looking at City haven't lost on the final day of the Premier League season since 2013. They lost 3-2 to Norwich. Who was the manager of Norwich?
Chris Hughton.
Now, how do you see Brighton scoring 3 goals, though? Isn't that... look, whatever about watching the game the other night when City were playing Leicester, you knew that Leicester have a threat.
Yeah.
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 Brighton don't have that. They don't have that,
well, look,
that
listen,
explosive
I keep
pace.
Saying, I think Gross is coming back into form just at the end of the season. And, like, I know what you're saying. Listen, Glenn Murray... he's a fox in the box, isn't he? Who knows? All it takes is a set piece or something like that to go wrong for City. The ball spills out. Murray's there just to poke it home. You just don't know.
Scores, I tell you, whoever...
there'll be a statue outside Anfield.
They'll be selling packets of Murray mints around Liverpool.
Well, like I would say is that... I just think that it's one of those games where everybody is so certain that Man City are just going to get down there and do the job. If I'm a Brighton player I'm thinking, and one thing we can say about the Premier League is, and even looking at last weekend's games, so many teams had nothing to play for last weekend, but they still went out and performed. And I still think, if I'm a Brighton player heading out into that dressing room, and you've got a chance to upset Manchester City, you know, one of the biggest clubs in Europe now, and you can stop them from winning the Premier League title, that's enough motivation for me. It's one game, 190 minutes, you're going to go out there and do your best.
But also as well, if you do your best and you don't win, you know, nobody's going to say anything.
Exactly.
No, exactly. Yeah. And I think as well, you've got a chance as a player to put your name in the history books.
Well, you mentioned 95. When I think of 95, people will think of the Jamie Redknapp free kick. I straight away, I think of the West Ham goalkeeper.
Yeah, McCloskey.
Yeah. Because he
pulled off save after. Just, yeah, he was unbelievable.
Mark Hughes missed Andy a couple. Cole. Andy Cole as well. Yeah, yeah.
So who is going to be the Ludo McCloskey? Will it be Matty Ryan?
He's a good keeper, Matty Ryan. And actually, interestingly enough, it wasn't Matty Ryan. Matty Ryan has played in Spain. Bruno, actually, the right back, he was scouted by Guardiola as well when he was at Barcelona. And Bruno was playing, it was Espanyol or something, I'm not too sure now what the La Liga club is off the top of my head. But again, look, he might be playing, I'm not too sure. But yeah, I think Matty Ryan's a good goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, he is, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they missed him. They missed him earlier in the season. Definitely when he went off to play in the Asian Cup. So that you feel City are still going to find a way.
Yeah, I do. Because they've found a way since they've got knocked out of the Champions League. And I just thought Monday night they were getting desperate. Because it was coming up to the 70-minute mark, and then look, it's a wonder strike. And to be fair to Vincent Kompany, if you look at Man City and you think of a player that epitomises what they should be as a club, I'd say Vincent Kompany is your man. Mm. Because he hasn't played much this season. He's now played three games back-to-back. And even though for all the money Guardiola has spent, for all the players he's brought in, he's gone back to Vincent Kompany when it mattered most. Mm. And I think that says everything about the character of the man. And you look at the spine of Man City, Kompany, David Silva, who I felt Monday night was very lucky to stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he should have gone.
He's getting a lot of cards lately, Silva.
He is, but you know what he's doing? Like, he's not afraid to leave the leg in, is he?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and like...
Yeah. You need to be, like, he's a small player, so you have to have a bit of nastiness to look after yourself. I've no problem with that. I actually would be more concerned with his performances. He seems to be... not on the wane, but he's just not having the influence he once had. Now, the beauty for City is they have his namesake Bernardo Silva coming in.
He's
been their best midfielder this season.
Yeah. I know everyone was talking about Van Dijk or Sterling getting the Player of the Year award. I think Bernardo Silva is right up there.
Yeah.
He's absolutely the work he puts in.
So he ran 13 kilometres. He covered 13 kilometres against Liverpool.
Yeah.
Quick question for you guys. Do you think now with City, they're looking at Spurs versus Liverpool in the Champions League final, does that put on a little bit of extra pressure that if they slip up against Brighton and Liverpool obviously beat Wolves, like, they'd only end up winning a League Cup and maybe an FA Cup? Does that put a bit more pressure on Guardiola that he's thinking, okay, my nearest rival in the league is in the final. The team that knocked me out has got through to the final. Does that add a little bit extra to Sunday's game?
I do think, and I suppose, like, City haven't been in this position where they're being pushed to the pin of their collar until they won it last season at a canter really in the end.
Yeah.
But I just think players nowadays, I think Guardiola will have them. Like, every time they go into a game, I think, well, maybe they could be suffering a bit with nerves and stuff. They still come through, don't they? That Leicester game, like, they were really pulling under pressure by Leicester at certain points in that game. They still came through. I don't think mentally, I think they'd be okay.
Okay.
It's really, I think they should be all right.
My feeling was when they got knocked out of the Champions League by Spurs, they'd go on and win their five remaining games. But they'd be, you know, I expect to see them lift the trophy at the Amex on Sunday. But there'd be a sense of, not anticlimactic, but they'd be back-to-back titles, great achievement, and people say they're one of the best teams we've seen in the Premier League. But until they show that they can mix it at European level, and they're not even, like, they got knocked out by a young Monaco team that they were more than good enough to beat. They got blitzed by Liverpool at Anfield, they didn't recover. They got beaten by a Spurs team that they shouldn't have lost to either. So that's failure for me. Yeah. So I don't think they can even be in the conversation to be one of the greatest teams we've ever seen.
Yeah, and the funny thing as well is that you could end up, if Liverpool win the Champions League and if Man City win the Premier League, you've got two clubs winning the trophy that the other club covets so much.
Correct. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. That would be the do a swap deal.
Can they do a swap? I would take it now that, like, City slip up, but obviously City are not in the final.
We've talked a lot about City and how they're going to get on. Liverpool, we know Firmino's out, Salah's back. Like, Wolves have beaten Chelsea, they've beaten Spurs, they've beaten Arsenal, they've beaten Manchester United. They drew with City earlier in the season as well. They love the top six games.
They do, but I just have a feeling Tuesday night and what it will do for this group of players, that you're missing two of your star men and you still go out there and you beat one of the best teams in the world 4-0. And, like, when Aldam comes off the bench, Milner has to go back left full. I don't know whether Robertson is going to be risked on Sunday. It's not a long-term injury, thankfully, for him, because he deserves to be in a Champions League final. But I do feel Liverpool, Phil. I just think the crowd, I think the atmosphere, I think the pressure's off Liverpool on Sunday. The pressure's on Man City.
Is that also to do with what happened on Tuesday? Because,
yeah,
like, the feeling on Tuesday night at 10 o'clock was, in the space of 24 hours, Liverpool's season could be gone, just like that, because we kind of feel that company goal has effectively won City the league, and Liverpool aren't going to turn it around against Barcelona. And sure, people say, oh, it's been a great season, but then they'll still throw that, what have they won?
Yes, correct. And you know what? They still haven't won anything.
No.
And it's not a criticism of Jurgen Klopp, but it's something I feel that he almost feels it on his shoulders too. He's been to three finals, a League Cup, a Europa League Cup, and a Champions League final, and he's won none of them. I think he has to win this final. But I think Sunday, I think Liverpool will win. And I actually, I'm now going into this game, I'm going to enjoy this game, because I think they're going to get the ball down, they're going to play, and I think there will be an emphasis from Liverpool, come out of the traps like greyhounds, get the first goal, put yourself up on top of the table, even if it's for a few minutes. Just get yourself up on top of the table and try and inflict just that tiny bit more pressure on City. But I fully expect Liverpool to win, and I think it'll be an open game. I think maybe 3-1.
Yeah, look, I think as well, like, the, like, and I think what happened this week will affect Spurs and Liverpool in different ways. I think Liverpool, because they've been to a Champions League final just last season, they've been there, they know what it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they've had that experience already of getting there to the final. If they're going to, it's, you know, they'll take this in their stride. Whereas Spurs, I think Liverpool will be driven on, should I say, by the Barcelona game. It's going to push them on that little bit further. Spurs, on the other hand, I think they're going to be, it's like the, you know, Barton Milhouse having the drinking the squeegees and going on the mads bender, and then they have to come down the next day. I think that's exactly what's going to happen Spurs this weekend. I think Everton to beat Spurs, I think we're going to talk about that, is a great same with Arsenal as well. I think Arsenal are going to have a come down. I think they'll go to Turf Moor at the weekend. I know it's not on my bets, but I think Arsenal will go to Turf Moor. I think Burnley are going to they've got a bad record against Arsenal. The last three matches at Turf Moor, they've lost 1-0 in each game.
Controversially.
So just by narrow margins. So I think it's the last game of the season at Turf Moor. The fans want to have a good result to see the season out. Sean Dyche is going to tell them players, go out there, rough them lads up. And after about 10 minutes, you're going to have a couple of those Arsenal players will get heavy challenges off Tarkovsky, off me, off Bardsley, off whoever is out there, off Ashley Barnes, your boy Philo. And I think the Arsenal players will then go, whoa, 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 I've got a European final in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get involved in this nonsense. And I think Burnley are going to beat Arsenal. I think they're 21-10. He's a great price for Burnley on the last day of the season at home.
OK, we'll get into this week's bets. It'll also be interesting to see if Mesut Ozil plays against Burnley. Sometimes he gets ill before these kind of games.
Away matches, yeah.
Yeah, so let's look at this week's bets. Let's try and go out in style, because in a few minutes we're going to reveal that there has been a few reputations tainted as the season has gone on, but we'll look at this week's bets. I've gone for Crystal Palace and Bournemouth, final game at Selhurst Park. I think there's going to be lots of goals in this one, both teams to score as well.
Yeah,
3.5 goals.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, this is a summer party game, isn't it? Like, there's nothing on it. They both like to attack. I'd agree with you there, Phil. Yeah,
just go out and enjoy yourself, lads. Yeah. Right.
Well, it's good news for our producer as well, Endicull. He suffered the wind and the rain going to Oriel Park there a couple of weekends ago. He's gone off to Brighton and Crystal Palace and Bournemouth. So delighted for him. You get a bit of sunshine, plenty of goals. Great news for Endicull.
Oh, it'll end up nil all now. Right, Steve, you mentioned Everton to beat Spurs, and that's the bet you've gone for this week. You fancy Everton to get the job done at White Hart Lane?
Look, there's loads of factors here. Look, Danny Rose, you got spotted him on the players' Instagrams drinking beer on the pitch afterwards. I'd say they had a bit of a celebration, and look, they were well entitled to it. I'm delighted for them. Vertonghen came out of that match in a boot.
Yeah.
He's going to be rested for the final. Son and Foyth are both suspended. I know they're appealing the Son one, but those two are suspended. Look, he's going to make a few changes. Some of the players coming in there, I wouldn't have too much hope for the likes of Dyer, Walker Peters, these kind of fellas. Everton are in brilliant form at the moment. They had a little bit of a hiccup against Fulham a couple of weeks ago, but they bounced back last weekend. And I really think I backed Everton at the handicap last weekend. I really think Everton are going to come down. Tottenham fans don't care what the result is this weekend.
So they have top four.
The players don't care. Pochettino doesn't care.
8-0.
Yeah, well, that's yeah. Look, they do not care. They're just going to go out there. The players are going to be, they're not going to be too worried. Most of the players, the first team players, all they want to do is protect themselves for this final. And Everton are going to go out there. They're going to kill it, and they're going to beat Tottenham.
Okay, Kevin Coban is not here, but he's gone for Watford to win against West Ham. Watford warming up for that FA Cup final, and both teams to score. West Ham won last week against Southampton because Marko Arnautovic was in the mood.
Yeah, and when he's in the mood, he's unplayable.
Yeah,
I've said it on this show before. I'd love to see him at
Liverpool.
Well,
we know he's in the mood. Yeah. He wants to get a move.
Yeah.
So the one first goal scorer, I think, as well. Might be worth a little fiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Leon.
Yeah, well, I agree with what Steve said earlier on. I just think Burnley at home to Arsenal, who are absolutely shocking on the road in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And they are just soft. Arsenal are soft.
Yeah.
If you give them a good 50-50 and absolutely lump into them the first 10 minutes, they're going to be going, listen, we've got a final in like under 2.5 weeks away. No, I really like Burnley. 21-10, I'm surprised. And I do agree with Steve-O. I think this market will shift before kickoff. I would be surprised if Burnley don't come under 2-1 before kickoff. Yeah. I would expect them to be around about a 7-4, 15-8 chance before kickoff. I think punters are going to realise that Arsenal, because of their away record and because they're in the Europa League final, stay well away.
Okay, we're going to show how we did over the season, but I'm just looking at last week's bets. Steve-O, you were the only one that got the win. You had Everton with the handicap and at -1, and they won. So that came in for you. The rest of us lost. Will was here. He went for West Ham and Southampton, Cardiff and Palace, the draw, two draws there. No, he lost that. I thought Man City would score in the opening 10 minutes against Leicester. They didn't. And Kev went for Wolves and Man U to win. And United didn't win against Huddersfield.
Yeah.
Kev,
I was there.
Yeah.
It was miserable. Like they were United just awful. Absolutely awful. In fact, I might nearly have a cheeky euro on Cardiff.
We show without mentioning them.
I know. But what's it going to be like there on Sunday? I mean,
Johnson, listen.
Play the kids, but you know,
lads. Like I said, I was there at the John Smiths, myself and Brian Kerr, and I have to say, my heart went out to Man U fans. And I've been to a couple of United matches where they've been on the road this season, and the United fans travel in great numbers. They give their team absolutely incredible support, and my heart went out to them because there was lads out on that pitch over the in that Huddersfield game, and they were not trying a jot. They just packed in the second half. I won't even name names, but the United fans know who they are. And I think it's disgraceful what they're doing to that club. I think the rot runs right through it from top to bottom. And it's the fans I feel sorry for. They're paying money to go see that team of players playing every weekend. And that's the kind of the thanks that they get from the players. I think it's disgraceful. And I think next season, Ole has a big job in his hands. He really does.
Going to have a busy, busy summer. Okay, before we finish up, and remember, if you are gambling, gamble responsibly, and we're looking at the overall winners. Now, it's going to be a few little asterisks beside some of these things, right? Because in fairness, Enda's done up the winners column, but, you know, I want to see appearances. I want to see,
ratio. We got the ratio here, Phil,
You know, goals per minute ratio.
Wins to appearances, yeah.
So I'm thinking that I'm going to go, Will is bottom of the table, right? He had two winners all season. Now, he was only on four times.
Well, that's not
so
bad.
That's a 50% hit rate.
That's a very good strike rate. Yeah. That's a serious strike rate.
Yeah. Now, to myself, I had four winners. Now, I don't know what my strike rate was. It wasn't 50% anyway. It wasn't very good.
Four winners, still good. Did Kilbane have more than four winners?
Did, yeah.
Wow.
Now, what I would say about Kev is he went for trebles a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
Kev's never present as well, is he?
So I don't know, has he got an advisor? You know, is it? Can we believe what we see? But he had five winners. Then we go to John Duggan, who had six winners, right? Now, I don't want to kick a man when he's not here, and he's not down because he's on these.
Oh, he's on a high now.
Probably still in Amsterdam, is he?
Amsterdam. He picked a lot of safe winners, like, you know, one kind of even money bets, like, or even like even shorter odds than that. He was going on just one game.
Yeah.
He'd come in and he would be adamant, like, they're going to win this game. Then we go to Steve. Oh, you'd five winners.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Now you only had five losers.
That's all right.
So you've got the good hit rate as well.
We're a 50% man as well.
We're in the black.
And now, Leon, you're top of the table. Now, like Kev, you had to submit a bet every week.
Yes.
Now, you had 11 winners.
That's nice.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, could have been better.
Happy with that?
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. But I was a bit adventurous most weeks. I mean, I was trying to get value. I think most of my bets, they were certainly... a lot of trebles. I didn't really go for singles that much, but this week I think we're going to finish with 12. So we're just under 33%.
You can leave the bike in the lockup for a while.
Because I think Burnley this week. I think I'm actually going to have a little flutter on that myself.
Okay, lads. Thanks for today. Thanks for the season.
Thanks,
Phil. Pleasure. And enjoy the final day. I know. You're going to be at Anfield.
I am.
You're going to be at the Amex Stadium.
The Amex.
I'm going to be in here on the final day, hoping there's drama.
Steve, I'll be expecting a text from you when Shane Duffy rises above all else and plants it into the back of the net.
Into the wrong net. The former Everton defender scores an own goal. We'll see. But yeah, that is our lot for this week and for this season. And enjoy the final day. And we'll chat to you soon.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.